إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, the second point that Imam Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi raised with regard to how to make your life full of peace and harmony is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The four points that he mentioned, the first of them was that rizq is from Allah, so therefore I don't worry about it. The second one is that Allah created me for a certain purpose, so I am concerned about fulfilling that purpose, which is the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing he said was that to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here and present and watching, and therefore I am ashamed to commit any sin. And the fourth one was to prepare for the akhirah, prepare for his death, because he knew that death is coming. So the second point is to live your life in a state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ash-Shafi rahmatullah alayh said, life is but an instant, let it be an instant of obedience. And I think that's a beautiful thought to keep in mind and to follow. Now, as far as ibadat is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the purpose of creation, of our creation, where he said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ, that we have not created the human being and the jinn for anything other than our worship. So I remind myself and you that this is the reason why we were created. We were created for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship is the ultimate form of obedience. There are different levels of obedience. The final and the most significant, the most supreme level of obedience is worship. Now, if you take obedience itself and say, well, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does it impact in terms of worship? Islam is based on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without partners and without substituting another deity in the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both of these are prohibited. One is to deny Allah himself and worship somebody or something else. And the second one is to join a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. We make this declaration in Surah Al-Fatiha, in every rakat, in every salah, where we say, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, that I worship only you and I ask help only from you. And that is the essence of being a Muslim. Now, therefore, to obey somebody or something else in opposition to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this amounts to worshipping that thing or that person instead of Allah. One of the Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ, before he became Muslim, he visited the Prophet ﷺ, and his name was Uday bin Hatim radiallahu anhu. Adi bin Hatim, his name was Adi bin Hatim, and he was the leader of the Arab tribe of Tai. His father, Hatim al-Tai, was a very famous poet and very famous, was known for his chivalry and generosity. So he was agnostic to Islam. He was not a Muslim, and he was antagonistic for almost 20 years, and after that he became a Muslim. Now, he came to visit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once, and at the time he was a Christian, so he had a cross on a chain around his neck. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him, and he recited this ayat of Surah Tawbah, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
اتَّخَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرُهْبَانَهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the first part of this ayah, Allah said that they have taken their priests and rabbis and their monks as gods besides Allah, min dunillah, as gods and as deities in the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Adi bin Hatim said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't worship our priests and we do not take them as gods. Rasulullah said, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited something but your priests have permitted it? And Adi bin Hatim said, yes, that is true. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted some things but your priests have prohibited it? And Adi bin Hatim said, yes, that is also true. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is worship of Allah, worship of the priests instead of Allah. So it's not that they are bowing to the priests or worshipping the priests in terms of the physical forms of worship. Whether they are doing that or not, if they are obeying those priests instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in opposition to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that amounts to worship. And this applies to everybody, whether it's priests or not. Take one of the best examples of this is to see how Christians have legalized the consumption of pork. Now, you know and I know that as far as Christian food laws are concerned, they're the same as the Jewish food laws, where pork is prohibited. It is haram to eat pork in the Jewish food laws as well as in Islamic food laws. But Christians eat pork, even though this is prohibited according to the food laws that, you know, that their religion prescribes. But they have the priests and so on, and their religious scholars have permitted it. So they eat, I mean, the most widely consumed meat is pork. Now this is an example of what is meant in this ayah. And there are many such examples. One doesn't have to look too far away, too far and wide for that. So this is another example of for this is in Dalil in the Quran. There are two major dalail in the Quran. One is this one, which shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that obedience to someone in opposition to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worship. The second big dalil from the Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the issue of worshipping your nafs, worshipping your own desires, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan and in another place, where the ayah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. He asked Rasulullah, he said, have you not seen those people who have taken their desires as their objects of worship? They have taken their desires as their deity which they worship. And are you going to intercede for such people? Meaning, do not intercede for such people. Now here, we are not even talking about priests and so on and so forth. We are talking about taking our own desires, right? So, whatever we may desire to do, which is obviously something in opposition to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any such desire which is goes against Islam, which we insist on following, this falls into this category where it is condemned. This action of following the desire in opposition to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibited and is condemned to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not even to make dua for such people. So this is the issue of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and the importance of that obedience. Today, the tragedy is that we have to convince Muslims to follow the sunnah. We have to convince Muslims to follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what really beats me when you think about this and say, why must I convince a Muslim to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are not talking about converting people. We are not talking about convincing people who are not Muslim that they should follow Islam. Here we are talking about Muslims themselves. And we are saying, you as a Muslim, please follow Islam. Why must somebody have to say that? Because if you are not following Islam, then how are you a Muslim? And if you call yourself a Muslim, then why must somebody persuade you to follow Islam? Really, we have to ask ourselves this question and do something about this. And this is where Imam Hasan al-Basri says that the secret of success in life, the secret of peaceful peace and barakah in life is to follow the ahkam and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is what happens with us, where we constantly shoot ourselves in the foot, where we, on the one hand, we claim to be Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our claim. But on the other hand, we, the moment it comes to anything which is against our will and our, you know, false traditions and so on, this culture, that culture, we choose the culture, we choose the tradition instead of choosing to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the this is where I think we have to wake up and stop this living life like this and tell ourselves that, look, I mean, either you are following something or you're not following something. If you're following Islam, then let us follow Islam completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffah. Oh, you believe, enter into Islam fully and completely, right? Not partially. Partial selective obedience is disobedience, because when you are selecting to obey something, you are automatically selecting to disobey something. And this is what brings in the stress and the problems in life. Take for example the ayat from Surah Ar-Rum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi nasi li yuziqahum ba'da alladhi amilu la'allahum yarji'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly that the fasad, the trials, tribulations, difficulties, accidents, loss, calamities, confusion, you know, all the problems that are happening on the sea and on the land are the result of the actions of people, right? Bima kasabat aydin nas. This is what people have earned by their own hands. Liyuziqahum ba'd alladhi amilu la'allahum yardiyun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, the difficulties and the trials and the problems are a taste of the big punishment that will come to these people after they die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la'allahum yarji'un, and Allah says that we give them a taste of this so that they will turn toward us. In the difficulty that comes to us also is the mercy and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, it's like a slap on the wrist. It's saying, stay away from this, otherwise you will get yourself into serious problems. The slap on the wrist does not hurt, but if you get into the thing as a serious problem, then that is going to hurt very much. So this is why the slap on the wrist is administered to save the person from bigger problems. And I think it's very, very important for us that we think about this and we ask ourselves and say, what is it that I want out of life? Am I going to live my life like this, continuously, always disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I going to change my ways and live my life in a way where I become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? I think it's time to make up our minds and to do that which is beneficial for us and that which does not cause problems for us in this dunya wal akhirah. I think the key thing to understand is that today we are living a life in such a way that we somehow have started believing that disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is okay, right? We do not believe that to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually harmful. Now think about this seriously and say, how can we live life like this? Because if we are Muslims and we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for His obedience, then disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously not okay, right? It is something which is harmful. Now if that is so, then how do we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Take for example the issue of interest-based earnings. Now if we know, and we do know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war and He said anyone who indulges in interest-based earnings is accepting a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if a person is a Muslim and this person has read these ayat of the Quran, he understands this, that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that anyone who has who indulges in interest-based earnings and who has a business or whatever it is which involves interest, then this person is accepting a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if a person understands that, how can he still deal in interest? How can he borrow money on interest? How can he lend money on interest? Just a simple thing. I mean, you know, there's no rocket science involved. It's very easy to understand this. Just ask yourself this question and say, what is it that we are doing to ourselves? Yet we indulge in these things. We know it is wrong. We know that it is wrong to have an income which has any level of haram in it, yet we will still do that. So we have to ask ourselves this question and say that, why am I living my life like this, you know, where I know something is wrong yet I still do it? And that's why I think it's very important for us to keep this in mind and settle this matter with us and say that whatever is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not beneficial, it is harmful. Disobeying Allah is not okay. Disobeying Allah is harmful. Disobeying Allah cannot be done. It is not an option. To disobey Allah is not one of the things that is possible to do for a Muslim. Settle this for yourself once and for all. I mean, how can we continue to live life like this, continuing to live life in this ridiculous way where we live as if we have no intelligence. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question and say, I must not do this. I must change my ways and say that I will live my life in accordance with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the simple reason that I am a Muslim. And if this is not possible, then ask yourself, how are you a Muslim really speaking? And what is going to happen to you and me when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are we going to justify this ridiculous existence that we have chosen for ourselves? It is not okay to disobey Allah. It is harmful to disobey Allah. For us, it's like, just to illustrate, so we understand this, it's like how we drive, you know. In our countries, we just go through a red light, just like that, you know, no problem. We don't even think about this. We just simply go through a red light, but we will not do that in Singapore. If you're driving in Singapore, there's no way that we will go through a red light, because you know what happens to you if you go through a red light in Singapore. You know that the consequences will be very serious. So I'm saying that, first of all, one must not go through red lights because one understands the value of following the law. It's very, very, very sad that we have to, that we follow the law only because of the possibility of nasty consequences. But I'm saying that even if you are in that situation where you are following the law only because of nasty consequences, let us at least think about this and say, why must I live life like this? What is the sense in doing that? And why don't I live my life in such a way that I live my life positively, following the law joyfully, because I know that the law is beneficial for me and for all those around me. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and which is beneficial for us, and save ourselves from that which is not beneficial. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.